I open your Bibles with me again to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now I feel identified with the Apostle Peter when he wrote this second general epistle bearing his name for three reasons. It says here in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant. Simon Peter, a servant. The servant of God. A bond slave. A bond servant of God. And then we know this, he was an older man. How do you know that, preacher? Well, turn to verses 14 and 15 of this first chapter. Peter is writing this epistle in the last days of his life. Does that matter? Well, it certainly does. The older a man gets, the more he learns about the things of God. Imagine Peter writing this epistle when the Lord had risen from the tomb and he appeared to the disciples on the riverbank, on the bank of the lake there. And he told Peter what kind of death he would die. Peter would be crucified. And the Lord told him that. And he turned to the Lord and he said, "What's John going to do?" You remember that? Well, he's in no shape to be talking about that. What's John going to do? God has to convert us and give us growth in grace. And Peter's an old man now. Now listen to verse 14. "Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." That's over in John. He showed him how he's going to die. "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things in remembrance." So here's an older believer, and here's a man who looks upon himself as a servant, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. But look at the next line. He said, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle." The apostle Peter. The Lord chose him to be an apostle, one of the 12 apostles. And he said, "I am an apostle. I'm an old man. I'm a servant of God. I'm a bond slave, but I am an apostle. The Almighty God has chosen me to be an apostle." And we find these two words sum up every true servant of God. These two words. A servant and a preacher. A servant and a preacher. Paul said this. Listen to Paul. You don't turn to it. I quote it for you. Paul said, In nothing am I behind the chief apostle." He knew the Lord. He knew the gospel. He knew the Lord had spoken to him. He knew the Lord had called him. He knew the Lord put him in the ministry. He was an apostle. He was a pastor. He was a preacher. He's a man whom God sent to preach the gospel. And he said, "I don't back down from anybody." He said that just as clearly. He said, "In nothing am I behind the chief apostle, although I am nothing." You see, that always goes together. I'm an apostle. I'm a preacher. I have a message to tell. And I've got a message to tell people. But I'm a servant of God. And though I'm not one whit behind the chief apostle, nevertheless, I'm nothing. Now, these men didn't always see that. Let me tell you something here. James and John and Peter and the rest of them debated about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. They were doing that through the Lord's ministry, debating about who's going to be the greatest. And our Lord answered them one day. He said, "Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest, let him be the servant of everybody." Got to have those two things. You can't have a minister of the gospel that's proud and arrogant. You can't do it. And you can't have arrogancy and be a servant. So that's what Peter's saying. I'm a servant, but I am an apostle. Now, what is greatness? Well, their idea of greatness at this time, they changed their mind about a lot of things. But their idea of greatness was to sit on thrones. That's what James and John wanted to do. Let me sit on your right, and let my brother sit on your left. And the Lord Jesus said, true greatness is not to sit on a throne, it's to serve. Let him be your servant. The idea that they had was this, to have servants. True greatness is to be one. The Lord Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save the lost, and I've come to serve. And then their idea was to be ministered unto. But true greatness is to minister and give to others. And their idea of greatness was to be honored guards. Let me sit on your right hand and let my brother sit on your left. True greatness is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt us in His own time, in due time. All right, let's look at this first verse now. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There are three significant words in this verse. Three significant words having to do with what the Lord has given us. He says, I'm writing to them that have obtained precious faith. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. We didn't deserve it. We have obtained it. Paul said this, I am one who hath obtained the mercy of the Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We have obtained like precious faith. Well, here's the second word. We have obtained like precious faith. There's only one kind of faith. I hear people say, well, we're not of the same faith. We better be. There's just one Lord. There's one faith. There's one Lord. Baptism. There's one God and Father. There's one body. There's one Spirit. There's one hope of your calling. So we have obtained. God has given it to us like precious faith. We all have the same faith. That is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. They all have the same faith. Well, what is faith? Well, he says here, it's precious. It's precious. It's called precious faith. It's precious why? It's precious because it was bought with precious blood. It's precious, and Peter said it's more precious than gold. And it's precious because we're chosen of God and precious. And the precious cornerstone is our Redeemer. And unto you that believe, He's precious. To you that have obtained like precious faith, what's this now? Through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we obtained it, in Him. Through Him. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart. we have obtained. Who are you writing to, Peter? I'm just a servant, but I am an apostle, and I'm writing to these folks that have obtained, not merited, not earned, have obtained like, same faith, precious faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Usually when Paul writes his salutation, now this is Peter, but usually when Paul writes his salutation, he uses three words: grace, mercy, and peace. And here Peter says same thing: grace, mercy, and peace be, what did he say? Multiplied. Multiplied? Multiplied? Yeah. Be multiplied. Because his grace has no limit. His power has no boundary. And his love is infinite. No boundaries known to man. So God's grace and God's mercy and God's peace is infinite. His is. It's infinite. God's mercy, God's grace, and God's peace has no degree. God's mercy, His grace, and His peace is perfect. It has no degree. It's infinite. And yet, when Peter is writing to us, he says, may the grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord be what? Multiplied. Multiplied to you. Multiplied unto you. Unto you. Yes, multiply. We grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians, I wish you to turn to this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to read this one. We talk about growing in grace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to it. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. Exceedingly. And the charity, the love of every one of you towards each other aboundeth. It's growing. It's not hung up in one place. It grows as you grow. It grows. The disciples asked the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Peter wrote this, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. That you may grow. How does one grow in grace? We know it does. We do. You have to. Anything that's alive grows. It doesn't sit still. And Peter says here, he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father be multiplied. Multiplied. So how does one grow in grace? I'll tell you. Look at it right here in my text. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Listen. Verse 2. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more I look to Christ, the more I grow. The more I lean on Christ, the more I grow. The more I learn of Him, not from Him, I learn from Him, I learn of Him, the more I grow. The more I study His Word, the more I grow in grace and truth. Let me show you a scripture. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Listen to this. You're so familiar with this. And some of the things we're most familiar with, we kind of read over. We know that. We learned that. But did you learn it? Listen. Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Right now. I'll give you rest, mercy, grace, and peace. God's mercy, grace, and peace is infinite, has no degree, is perfect. Read on. Now take my yoke upon you and learn. He didn't say learn from me. He said learn of me. Watch me. Listen to me. Learn of me. Of me. And you'll find. Learn of me. And for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. You're going to keep finding it. You'll keep growing in peace, love, and grace. Turn to Ephesians 4. Let me point this out to you here. In Ephesians chapter 4, the more I look to Christ, the more I learn of Christ, the more I lean upon Christ, the more I study His Word, the more I grow in grace and peace. But you know something? I'll read this scripture in a minute. But the opposite is true also. If I don't learn of Him, lean upon Him, look to Him, what do I do? Well, the more I associate with the weak and the worldly and the sensual people of this world, the more like them I'm going to be. The more I learn of Him, the more like Him I'm going to be. The Scripture says, evil companions corrupt good manners. It's the folks you run with. They'll take you down. They won't lift you up. If you run with the apostles, you run with God's people, you live with them and fellowship with them, you're going to grow in grace. If you run around with folks, it's got the flu, you're going to catch it. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Now here's these apostles, these teachers God's given us. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, for the maturing, for the growth of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of that one faith, that one precious faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the folks we run around with, by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love that you may grow up. You ever say to your child, I wish you'd grow up. That's what Peter said. I want you to grow up. I want you to listen and grow up into Him in all things. He's the head, even Christ. All right, let's look back at our text. 2 Peter chapter 1. The third verse here. The third verse. Listen to it. And there are three things here that I want you to see. According as His divine power. His divine power. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. It's of the Lord in its origination. It's of the Lord in its execution. It's of the Lord in His application. It's of the Lord in His sustaining power. It's of the Lord in His ultimate perfection. It's of the Lord. Salvation. His divine power has saved us. His divine power. Now watch this. Hath given unto us all things. Everything. We have everything that that Christ purchased for us on the cross. It's ours now. Let me show you that. in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hold this 2 Peter here and turn to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. According to His divine power, He hath given unto us all things. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21. 2 Peter 3, 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. You're the children of God. You're the people of God. You're the Israel of God. Everything's yours. Everything God Almighty performed for you, promised to you, purchased for you, is yours. Read on. Whether it's Paul, or Apostle, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, they're all yours. And you're Christ. Christ is God's. It's yours. Now back to my text. According as His divine power hath given to us all things. All things is what? That pertain to life and godliness. Not only salvation, but sanctification. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ, according as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. When you were born of God, you were born with everything you're going to have in eternity. That's right. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's yours. And we're looking for a couple of babies in our family. Carrie's expecting, and so is Hannah. We're waiting. Well, they're going to be born. One of them's going to be a little girl. We don't know what the other's going to be. You've already looked at a picture of Leah's, and you saw the spine and all. Everything that baby is born with, you'll have eternity. That's right. He'll never grow another arm, another leg, another ear, another nose, another eye. Everything he's got. Life! It's yours right now. In Christ Jesus. You grow. You grow. You mature. I pray we will. But we have it in Christ. He, according to His divine power, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. They're yours in Christ Jesus. The thief on the cross. Pretty good illustration here, isn't it? The thief on the cross said, Lord, you're not going to stay dead. You're coming into the kingdom. Remember me. Be mindful of me. And the Lord said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Perfectly holy. Perfectly like Christ Jesus. By His preacher can't do it. The church can't do it. The Pope can't do it. Nobody can do it but my Lord. And by His divine power, He has given to us all things in Christ. All things that pertain to life and godliness. And that's all I'm interested in. I'm not interested in anything down here too much anymore. Because we're going home. We're going home. All right, here's the next thing here. It says here, according to His divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him. He knows us. We know Him. Through the knowledge of Him. Let me show you Scripture, Galatians 4, verse 9. Galatians 4, verse 9. Galatians 4, verse 9. Now watch this. Watch it carefully. Galatians 4, 9. But now, after you have known God, we know Him, don't we? I know whom I have believed. You know God. Listen to the next line. Or rather, are known of God. Both the truth. We know Him. He knows us. That's right. We're known of God, and God knows us. And that's how we, that's how that we have this life, godliness, and all things that pertain thereto, because He knows us. And we know Him. Now then, verse 4. I want you to listen to something here now. In verse 4. Back when I was in the Navy and on board ship, we had 120 crew members, and we carried Marines or Army into different invasions. But there was a voice comes over the loudspeaker when something important was to be said. Something mighty important was to be said. And this is the way it starts. Now hear this. Now hear this. You better hear this. That's what he always says. Now hear this. And everybody just stops. Hear this. Now you hear this. Chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us great and precious promises. Brother Jeff Thornberry and H.B. will remember this. Brother Jeff Thornberry had a word regarding these great and precious promises and warnings in Hebrews. He said Hebrews is a book of promises and a book of warnings. And he said this, he always said this, we're hedged about with His promises so that we'll not despair, and we're hedged about with His warnings so we won't pursue. You've heard that. We're hedged about with His promises so we won't despair. We'd despair if we didn't have those promises. But Newton, we got some warnings, and we're not going to presume on God. But this is what he said. Whereby are given to us great and precious promises, that you might be partakers of the divine nature. What's that mean, preacher? Just what it says. We're partakers of the divine nature. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We are partakers of the divine nature. We have an old nature. I know that. Everybody's got problems with that. But we have a new nature. And greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So we're going to come to something now really important. Listen. Whereby are given unto us great and precious promises, that by these you might be a partaker of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. Heard a fellow say one time to me, he said, well, the only difference between you and me is I believe and you don't. There's a whole lot more difference in a believer and unbeliever than that. There's a big difference. God puts a difference between His people and unbelievers. And this is what He's saying right here. He has given us a divine nature, and thereby we are escaping the corruption that's in this world through lust. There is a difference in the children of God and the people of this corrupt world. And I'm going to show you a verse of Scripture. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There is a big difference between God's true people and the unbeliever, the unbelieving world. There's a big difference. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Now stay with me. Know ye not that the ungodly and the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters. God's people aren't idolaters. They're not fornicators. They're not adulterers. Nor effeminate. You know what that word means? It's in the look it up in concordance. A catamite. A catamite. That's people that preyed on young boys. Sodomy. That's what that is, right? Effeminate. Look it up. I took the trouble to do that. You look it up. I'm not effeminate. Believe me. And I don't run around with those that are. Believe me. Because that's a catamite. You look it up. And an abuser of themselves with mankind. Not thieves. You folks stealing. Covetous. You covet your neighbor's property. His wife. His children. We don't covet. We want them the best in the world for them. You do, don't you? No covetous. No revilers. No extortioners. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're unbelievers. They don't know God. There's a difference. Now here's the difference. Verse 11. Such were some of you. But you're different now. Huh? You're washed in the blood. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. That makes a difference, doesn't it? You come in from play, little kid, he's got mud all over him. Mama washes him. She don't touch him unless she washes him. Don't walk on my floor. Wash him. He's washed you. Who did it? God washed you in the blood of the Lamb. He washed you. And you sanctify. You're different. You have that new nature. Child of God. You're justified. Your sins are forgiven. You're a child of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a new nature. There's a new walk. There's a new talk. There's a new attitude. There's a new direction. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in that. I'll fit down there. All right, number five. All right, watch this now. Verse 5. And besides this, is it more? Is it more? Listen. He's given to us like precious faith. He's multiplied His grace, mercy, and peace. He's revealed to us the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. He's given us the great and precious promises, and He's given us His divine nature. Now then, verse 5, and besides this, add, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add it. What's virtue? Honesty. Truthfulness. God's people don't lie. God's people are not dishonest. They're truthful. That's virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Knowledge, know Him. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. Add to your faith temperance. What is temperance? Self-control. Self-control. Avoid excessiveness. Just cool it. That's cool. Brother Ed Wallen was a sergeant in the Army, and he got his platoon together one day, HB, and there was a black boy standing there with dark glasses on. And Ed said, "Get those glasses off. Sun's not shining." He said, "Sergeant, when you're cool, the sun always shines." That's what temperance. The sun always shines. Cool it. All right. Add to your temperance, patience. Patience with yourself and with everybody else. With everybody else. Add to your patience, godliness. What's godliness? That's just worshiping God. That's fearing God. That's walking with God. That's praying before God. That's just godliness. And brotherly kindness. You know, I think through the years, and I look out over this congregation, I tell you, I love some folks, don't you? I'm not playing games. I do love God's people. You do too, don't you? Godliness and brotherly kindness. be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake forgave you. And charity. Generosity. That's what charity is. Generosity. Now then, down here at verse 8. If these things, we've just gone through all these things. He's given us these things. If these things be in you, and they abound, and they grow, they'll make you that you shall not be barren, useless, unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If these things be in you, and if they grow, cultivate these things, these eight things we just talked about. If they be in you and abound, then you're not going to be unfruitful. You're not going to be barren, useless. But verse 9, but he that lacketh these things, he's blind. He's blind. He's just worshiping a doctrine. Hanging on to a doctrine. Not worshiping a person. Clinging to a person. He's blind. And he can't see afar off. And he's forgotten that he's purged with his old sins. You know, I've turned to Matthew 21. Let me show you something here. Matthew 21. If these things be in you and abound, you'll not be unfruitful and barren. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 18. Matthew 21, verse 18. Matthew 21, I want you to read this. Verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, the Lord Jesus, he hungered. When he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, nothing but leaves, no fruit. And he said unto that fig tree, let no fruit grow on you henceforth, forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. That's what Peter's saying here. If these things be in you and abound, you're not going to be nothing but leaves. You're going to have fruit. You're going to have fruit. All right, give me 2 minutes and let me close with this, what Frank read, this 10th and 11th verse, and I want to read it again. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. But if you do these things, you'll never fall. And an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, the primary concern of me and you and everyone here is to make our calling and election sure. I can't look into God's book. I can't look into the book of life, and I can't see God's eternal decrees. But I can look into this word. I can look into this word, and I can receive his word, believe his word, trust his word, and rest in the divine promises and power of this word, and look to Christ, my Lord, to save my soul. Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I believe. Our Father, thank you sincerely for your word. Thank you for this scripture that we've just looked at and read and studied. And Lord, we pray that you would make it effectual to our hearts. Not just our heads and our minds and our doctrine, but reveal Christ in us. I travail, Paul said, to Christ before in you. I pray that you'd make your word to be most effectual tonight. This message, use it for your glory. Pray for the pastor. You'd minister to him when he visits the doctor tomorrow. And we pray for all of our people here that are going through trials and troubles and heartaches and division. We pray for one another. Lord, help us. Leave us not alone. Help us. In Christ's name we pray, for his sake. Amen.